Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our gospel reading today, our gospel is the text for the sermon today. Jesus says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." It struck me as I was preparing for the sermon that it's very interesting. What's happening?
You're reading the gospel.
Oh, no, we're not reading the gospel. Please be seated. I'm reading from the gospel. Just a short verse. I appreciate your standing.
It didn't say stand on the screen.
Oh, all right. Okay. That was for me, I guess. All right. Okay, well. Okay, I have to start over. So it struck me as I was preparing for the sermon, and the sermon is about the gospel, and Jesus says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." Okay? And the interesting thing about that is Jesus takes these messengers of John the Baptist, and what does he do? He turns them into His messengers. And I started thinking, well, you know, we had that Old Testament reading from Isaiah, one of the prophets who was a messenger of God. And later on, we had another prophet who was called Malachi, or if you prefer, as my Hebrew teacher told me, Malachi, the Italian prophet. Okay, that, we laughed about as much as you did. He said the last prophet of the Old Testament, you know, the last chapter of the Old Testament, he says, the prophet Malachi says, there will be a new Elijah. And in our gospel reading today, and you don't have to stand up again, the gospel reading said, Jesus calls this guy, if you will, the new Elijah. Who? John the Baptist. Another messenger of God. You have Isaiah, you have Malachi, you have a plethora of prophets. You have John the Baptist. And Jesus says, there's never been a greater prophet than John the Baptist. His messenger. And then at Christmas time, God sends these angels to give announcements, reports, if you will, to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, messengers of God to bring his word. In fact, the word angel means messenger. So there's all these messengers, and then there's Jesus, who is the message. Years ago, when I was just in junior high, I think, you all know I grew up in a small town in Michigan, right? Alpena, Michigan. And it was so small, we didn't have a McDonald's, okay? We had a chain restaurant that consisted of two stores, one on the north side of town and one on the south side of town. That was Lud's Hamburgers. But I remember when McDonald's came to town, it was like Alpena was on the map now, okay? We had a McDonald's. And you know, where all the kids went after the hockey games and after the football games, they went where? To McDonald's. And it was full. You could hardly get in. And I remember, my first job, I was working part-time, and I had gotten my license. I was 16, and I drove to McDonald's. And I walked in with money, my own money in my pocket, and I said those famous words, "I'll have 2 all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, sesame seed buns." And I discovered that special special sauce. Looked very much like Thousand Island dressing. But it was special to me at the time. And, and I thought, okay, well, Alpena has arrived. Now we're on the map. Now we have McDonald's, just like those people in the big city of Saginaw and the bigger city of Flint and even Detroit. And as I grew up, I discovered that the McDonald's in Alpena would serve the same Big Mac that you'd get in Boston or in New York City or in Budapest, anywhere. It's the same Big Mac. It was very comfortable. It was a very comfortable Big Mac that I could order anywhere, wherever I was in the world. It was safe. I knew what I was getting. Two all-beef patties, right? Etc. But then as time went on, it seemed like I knew what I was going to get, and if you went into a McDonald's, and maybe you know this, you don't even have to look at the menu anymore. You know what they serve, and you know what you're going to get. And I wonder if sometimes we do the same thing with Jesus, our Lord. What are you going to get at Christmas? Are you going to get that same Jesus who shows up in that little manger, in the little Christmas scene? The one that we put on a picture postcard and maybe send out to family and friends who are far away? That same kind of homogenized Big Mac Jesus that's the same every year? That same safe Jesus? That same comfortable Jesus that we're used to? That same Jesus who stays there on the picture postcard with Mary just not looking like she had a baby, just smiling, Joseph looking on, and the animals all serenely looking on, and that radiant face of Jesus, that nuclear glow from his face illuminating the whole place? Is that your Jesus? Is he safe and on that postcard? Well, John the Baptist had a little bit of a problem with Jesus. He said, "Are you the one who's coming, or should we expect another?" You see, I, John the Baptist, I'm sitting here in prison. I'm suffering here in prison, and I'm expecting a Messiah who's setting people free. And here I sit. Aiden asked while the kids were up here for the children's message, why was he in prison? Well, he was in prison for calling to repentance the king. And he called a lot of people to repentance. John the Baptist was good at that. He was a great preacher. He would have had his own cable show today. People went out in the wilderness to hear him. And he preached repentance, saying, "The winnowing fork is in his hand," the guy who's about to come, Jesus. But John the Baptist says, "Are you the one who is to come, or is there another? Where's your winnowing fork? Where's your winnowing fork when this king throws me in prison? Where's this winnowing fork when these Pharisees act like Pharisees? And these Sadducees act like Sadducees, and nobody repents, and nobody believes. You know how hard I've been preaching? Nobody listens." That's what John the Baptist felt like. So he sent messengers to Jesus to ask him, "Are you the one, or is there another? Because you don't feel like that Messiah that I'm expecting." And what is Jesus' answer? He sends back John's messengers as his messengers to say, what do your eyes see? What do your ears hear? You are my witnesses. The blind see. The deaf hear. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The poor have good news preached to them. He says, the kingdom of heaven is for the least of these. A couple chapters later, when they bring an infant to Jesus, he says, of such is the kingdom of heaven. A little child, an infant. What can an infant offer God? Nothing. All infants do is take. They take food. They take your time. They take your energy. When they're young, they take your sleep. When they're a little bit older, they take your money. They take your love. They take your love. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. The helpless ones who can't do anything, whether they're blind or they're lame or they're just children who can't help themselves, of such is the kingdom of heaven. And until you and I realize that, we're not in the kingdom. But when we do realize that we're helpless from our own sinful condition, we see what God has done. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. I guess I would ask you, what's going to be different for you on December 25th when that Jesus comes? Is it going to be the same Jesus in the postcard for you? What's going to be different in your life? When he comes for the least, who is the least in your life? Who is the person that you think of last, if you think about him at all? Who is the person who you'd rather not look at? Or rather not deal with? Who's that person who, they come this way, you go that way? Who's that person in your family who is hard to forgive because they won't repent enough? As John the Baptist would say, maybe. Who is the least in your life? And why are they least in your life? Jesus came for them. He came for you. When you and I were nothing. The least in the kingdom. The least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, the greatest preacher of all time, I guess. Because that's who God makes you to be. When you're the one who's struggling and helpless and hopeless and can't do anything about that sin that just keeps clinging to you, or that addiction that you can't seem to get rid of, or that hurt that's been there and you can't get rid of it, Christ comes for you, knowing that you've been the least, the lowest. When you felt outcast and thrown out of the city like a leper, Christ comes to you and says, I love you. I love you. I know the pain that you've gone through. And I'm going to the cross for you. That's what repentance is. And that's what turns your life around. So that you're no longer hopeless, but hopeful. You have hope. You've got a purpose. You are His messengers. And guess what? You're part of the message. You are part of the message because you are part of Christ. United with Him in a death like His, united with Him in a life like His, which you live to the glory of God through the power of your baptism. Forget not your baptism. It's a baptism to eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please rise as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, and descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.